What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Fire Talk here with the team, I guess. There's only three of us here today, so it's like the light version of the team.
I mean, it's the team that matters.
The A team?
To be fair, it is the team that the three of us probably account for, I would say, 70 to 80% of content on any given week, which just means that we talk too much and don't let Adam and Cole talk at all. So if you've been listening, you know that means we're missing Aaron and Cole. So it's just Jake, Matt, and
we're missing
Aaron.
Adam and Cole. Aaron is here.
I said Adam.
Rude.
No, you said we're missing Aaron and Cole.
Well, Aaron was late, so that's rude. Why he's also missing. And we're off to a hot start with a jam-packed episode that we have today. I think we have six new shows to talk about, plus two movies. So let's jump right in. Since Cole's not here, we can finally all say what we've been thinking about Ted Lasso. We can just rip it
fucking
to shreds.
Hate it. So glad my opinion can finally be aired without fear of judgment.
Yeah, right. Like you've ever been afraid of that. So we had we were back into the flow of the season with Ted Lasso this week. Honestly, I thought this week was, there was only one really interesting thing that I took away from this week, and I want to see if it's the same thing that you guys took away. So I'm not going to give it away yet. What do you guys think of this week's episode?
I'm starting. Okay. I love Ted Lasso. I think everyone on the show is great. Season two is starting to feel a lot less interesting to me than season one, just because it feels like there's no conflict tension happening. Like in season one, you had like everyone hated Ted and he was trying to win them over. You had everyone hated Jamie Tart and Ted was trying to get him to be a decent dude. Like there was a lot of like conflict, and
Rebecca
like,
was an asshole, and
yeah,
she
Rebecca
was having
was
a change
a huge
of heart.
Bitch, and you were wondering like how she was gonna progress and how that whole like plot line where she wanted to sabotage the team was gonna resolve. And there's just like so far in season two, like everyone's getting along.
Yeah,
like,
we're cataloging goodness. We're cataloging everyday goodness.
And I
which
think
isn't terrible, but
yeah. Like I said, I'm still enjoying it. It's just season one left me like, I was so glad I waited to binge watch season one, because at the end of every episode I was like, I need to know what happens next. Whereas this season, like, yeah, I'm watching it every week, but it doesn't leave me at the edge of my seat wondering like how these situations are going to be resolved. And I do feel like there are some like plot lines that are like simmering under the surface. Like I don't think we've resolved like things with the teen therapist. Like, I think there's still things that are going to be happening there. I think Ted Lasso is like slowly having a mental breakdown that we're not really seeing yet. So I think there's things that are going to happen. It's just not going somewhere yet.
He's also flirting with his boss via banter.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Maybe.
Oh,
no,
maybe.
They're definitely, no, they've been definitely slowly pointing it in that direction. And honestly, that's my biggest beef with this season. It's the one thing I didn't want them to do.
Oh, like they're great for each other. I love them together.
I don't think it's sustainable personally.
I mean, I like Sassy Smurf better, but
right. Also, I think it's weird that he's, I don't know. I would find that weird personally to be hooking up with someone that my best friend just hooked up with. And I know they're not there yet, but like, I didn't want them to have that. I want Rebecca to have her own life and not have them draw those two together. I like them as friends.
And I'm willing to give the show the benefit of the doubt at this point that they might take it in an unexpected direction, where I think, yes, they are flirting with each other on this app right now, but I don't necessarily think that that means they're going to start dating and fall in love and live happily ever after. Like,
I don't know. Maybe Jamie Tart reads Rilke.
But I think you made a great point, Matt. This season so far, even like all the conflicts that they have had have all been like one episode conflicts.
Yeah, like they're just resolved. Like Jamie Tart came back to the season and everyone was mad, and then within an episode they were all like, oh, you're an okay dude. Like,
yeah.
Oh, the changes you did stuck. Great, you can stay. Like,
yep, I definitely get that.
Yeah, I still enjoy the show. I'm not on the verge of stopping watching it or anything. It's just a much less, I hesitate to say interesting, but that's where I want to go with
yeah,
it.
Right now it's just
so
fun.
Far.
Like you're right though. There's a lot less intrigue this season so far, which is also Ron's gripe with Marvel's What If show. which I thought was very interesting. I was debating with him on his Facebook page the other day, and he wants
a colossal waste of time.
No, it was useful because it gave me an interesting take on the show in general. I've been a fan that they've been doing very different outcomes of the stories that we know, where his whole thing is that he wants to see like minor changes to already stories that we've seen.
No, I don't want to see that.
And that's what I said. I was like, well, why would you want to see that when it's going to be basically the same thing?
He's I don't want to just see like Captain America, the First Avenger, except Peggy Carter is the lead. Like, I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see something that's wildly different than what
Captain
I see.
Captain America,
like,
the First Avenger, but Bucky doesn't die.
What's the point of this show if you're just going to do like, this is the exact same movie you've already seen with a different lead character? Like,
and that's what
also,
I said.
But by the time they show you the small change, you don't have enough time in the episode to see the butterfly effect repercussions without skipping huge chunks of time if we're only changing small things.
Yeah.
No, agreed 100%. And because he brought up a couple of examples, but his whole idea is that his whole logic behind it was because it didn't have enough similar elements. And I'm probably mincing his words a little bit, so he's going to come back at me in the chat after this and give me shit about it. But because it's missing some of those more key elements and it is so vastly different, like Thanos being a good guy in the most recent episode, which I freaking loved. I thought that was hilarious.
I thought that was a great little tidbit. Like,
well, and that T'Challa was just able to convince him to be good by arguing with him. It was like, I think that's just amazing. And it actually speaks like the philosophical nature of his character, which the whole thing there. But he had mentioned because it didn't have enough similarity, it didn't have his interest. And so I was like, I don't follow that, but I can understand.
That's fine.
Because I personally like this week's episode better than last week's episode. I thought it was.
I really enjoyed this episode.
I thought it was a very fun addition to see the Ravagers be, and also
sort of good guys.
It's shit on Peter Quill, Star-Lord, so bad.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I love it.
Which, I mean, Chris Pratt is the worst Hollywood Chris, so it's fine.
It was so funny to see that like drastic change of like how much more effective they are. They're all together. They're basically good guy pirates. Like, it was awesome. Which, I mean, that's who would expect anything less from Chitala's kind of character.
You mean totally. Cha-Cha?
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, that was bad.
Thank you, Jake, for agreeing with me. Matt's like, I don't hate it. I'm like, I actively hate it.
I mostly don't hate it because Aaron hates it so much.
Well, yeah. If I was sitting right there and Aaron was saying like, oh, I don't like that, I'd be like, oh, I love that. Yes, 100%.
Hoskins against Aaron all the time.
No, I mean, I thought it was a fun episode. Again, like you said, I loved the little throw in of Thanos T'Challa successfully convinced Thanos to abandon his plan for universal domination.
And I like that he just had the recurring joke too. He's like, I still think it was a good plan.
And everyone's just like,
good
no,
points.
That's a terrible plan.
So I'm really excited about the rest of the show. I thought it was a much longer season than it was, so I'm kind of disappointed when I realized just last week it's only like 9 episodes.
I thought it was 8 to 10. I
thought it was longer than that for some reason, because it's
I feel like it's getting a decent response, so it's probably going to get a second season.
Probably.
And there's literally limitless possibilities for what they can do with it. Like,
Truth. And I didn't think I was going to love the animation style, but it actually gives me feelings of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same, and it's not quite as well done as that, but it's in that same vein, and I don't mind it. Another show that isn't getting renewed after the season, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, came back. It's 3 weeks in now. I haven't got to watch the third episode yet.
That's bad.
Have you guys gotten a chance to watch it? Yeah, it's the last season.
I have not. I'm like 2 seasons behind still.
So how would you describe Brooklyn Nine-Nine as a whole from what you have seen?
It's like if everyone on Parks and Rec was a cop. I don't know.
Playful police comedy.
This last season, not so much.
Serious AF.
It's still comedy. Like, there's still some playfulness to it, but it much heavier topics, especially episode kicks it off hard.
I mean, it makes sense that they made some tonal shifts, because the general like nationwide sentiment towards police is not the best right now. So yeah.
Well, and they were filming it too, like in the midst of all of that going on. So I understand it. Not to say it isn't good. Like, believe me, like they're doing it very well. And I think they're towing the line between being like over the top preachy at you, but also not shying away from like, there's some serious problem potentially here.
Yeah.
And still
significant also, conflict for Captain Holt.
I mean, I've seen 5 or 6 seasons of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and it's a wonderful show. Like,
yes, it is.
Everyone, it's one of those shows that you just like genuinely like all of the characters.
Especially
most
Rosa.
Of the characters. Rose is a treasure.
Who do you not like, Aaron? Why are you scowling?
I don't know that I genuinely like all of the characters. I don't know that I've watched it. Honestly, I watched it all the way through and I like binged like back through it at the beginning of COVID. And then I don't know that I've even thought about it since then, if I'm being honest. I really liked it when I was watching it regularly, but it wasn't something I was like awaiting the return of, obviously, because I forgot that it was even coming back.
That's kind of how I feel about it too. Like I've enjoyed watching it, but it's not one of those, like, it's not a top tier comedy to me.
Like, no, and I think the reason for that is because each of the episodes and each of the seasons, and this is going to be kind of counterintuitive, but they really do, especially in season, really play on each other a lot, where if you don't watch a couple of the episodes, like, you'll miss jokes that happen in later episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the problems with it. And for the rewatchability, is like, you have to kind of rewatch all of the episodes. Otherwise you jump in and you're like, whoa, what's going on? Where like
everyone else in the room is laughing, but you, and you're like, yeah. Wait,
like Friends didn't have that. How I Met Your Mother really didn't have that. Maybe like in season it did, but not from season to season really.
Yeah.
Office didn't really have that either. And that's what makes a good comedy a comedy, is when you have whole pockets of episodes that can just stand on their own and not have to be watched in any particular order.
Well, and see, that's why one of, in my opinion, the most brilliant comedies of all time is Arrested Development. And I think what they did really well is, you can put on any episode of Arrested Development and it's great. It's funny. It's amazing. But they also manage, like, there's just so many jokes layered that, like, yes, if you're binge watching a season, there's so much stuff that you're going to catch. That's like, there's this episode in season 3 that calls back to this episode in season 1. They're like, but you can also sit down and watch any individual episode and it still works. And that's really hard to accomplish.
Yes. Agreed. Definitely agreed. Either way, excited for the final season. It is a very short season from what I think Andy Samberg has mentioned in interviews, partly COVID related, partly just because of the environment. But I'm excited for the rest of it. It's been good so far. A lot of interesting things going on. And it's hilarious to like, it is still funny. The first episode, less funny. Second episode got back to a little bit more funny roots.
I'll probably eventually finish it off. I mean,
that was quite the promise. Probably eventually.
I've gotten back into and finishing off Supernatural. So if that still got me.
I keep getting to about the same point in Supernatural. And I've gotten a little bit farther this last time that I started. And I haven't watched again.
I've made it to season 14. This is completely uncharted territory for me. Ugh, so.
Yuck.
All right. What about, and speaking of uncharted territory, new show, 9 Perfect Strangers, Hulu, right?
Yes, on Hulu.
Walk us through it. Give me the synopsis.
Star-studded cast. Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy, Samara Weaving,
Bobby Cannavale,
Michael Shannon, just really great cast.
Manny Jacinto
of the Good Place fame.
I almost said Jason Mendoza for a second.
I mean, it's not Jason his real Mendoza, name. Yeah. playing a character that is nothing like Jason Mendoza.
No.
So the premise of the show is these 9 people are invited to this like wellness spa for a week long stay. They get there and have to like hand over their electronics. They aren't allowed to bring in any outside things. They're just here for like a week of like wellness treatments and relaxation. And
was it free? Did they win? Did they win a giveaway?
No.
So some of them are there, like they won like a discounted rate. Some of them are super rich and are just there because they paid for it. At least one guy is there because he won the entire thing. It's revealed very early on that these nine people are like definitely selected to be here this week together
with each other
for reasons that we don't know yet.
That's creepy.
Their diet is completely controlled. They're completely isolated from the outside world. And like, I forgot my other point.
All right. Is this a horror movie? Because or a horror TV show? Because it sounds like it's trying to be a horror TV show.
And they're being surveilled. Like that's not a secret.
See, like you learn very early on that they're like being surveilled. Film.
So it I would definitely not describe it as horror, but there are definitely like creepy things going on. You definitely don't know. Everyone has secrets. Like,
well, yeah.
The whole thing is run by Nicole Kidman's character.
Kidman's in charge, you know it's up to no good.
Her name is Masha.
She's Stepford's wife. Scary.
Very,
too.
Very like mysterious, very like new age wellness guru with a mysteriously disappearing Russian accent.
Oh my God, it's driving me crazy. She's supposed to be this eccentric Russian woman, and it's the most inconsistent accent I've heard in so long.
I think Nicole Kidman is a wonderful actress. Accent work is not
character work
suit.
Is not her thing. She can do English and Australian, end of list. Maybe British if she tries really hard. Yeah, this is rough. It's very intermittent and it's making me bonkers. Case in point, I got heated. But yeah, so her whole setup is that she started Tranquillum with she was this high-powered CEO, so she like moved there from Russia, built a business, was working night and day. I can't remember if there was substance abuse involved because that was in the first episode.
I'm sure there was.
Presumably. And then someone tried to kill her. Like someone shot her.
And she did die. And
was brought back to life by Manny Jacinto's character, who was a paramedic at the time. So now she's running this wellness retreat with Manny and his girlfriend is also one of the wellness counselors there. And like, I'm really intrigued to see what else we learn about the backstories of the other counselors, because they're all a little bit squirrely, but they're mostly normal appearing. You can just tell that like there's something going on with all of them. And they are all very much drinking the Masha Kool-Aid. Like they
everyone's
are
a little sus.
Singing her praises. But yeah, it's very interesting. It kind of watches like a good mystery novel reads. Like you're getting just enough clues throughout that it's keeping you very intrigued and you're trying to put all the pieces together episode to episode, but it's not to the point that it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. So you're like, you're enjoying putting the puzzle together. And there's also lighthearted moments too. I mean, Bobby Cannavale and Melissa McCarthy keep having these wonderful exchanges that are both like terrible if you think about real humans doing this to each other, but wildly entertaining to witness.
I will say,
go ahead.
All of the pieces of this show are there to be a really great show, but it's just not coming together for me. Like,
not yet.
Okay. I need the bold predictions then from you guys both of what's going to happen and what is the big reveal in this show going to be?
I don't know. Someone is stalking Nicole Kidman. They keep sending her creepy text messages. I don't know. So I think part of my issue with this show is I can't help but keep comparing it to
White Lotus.
The White Lotus. And the White Lotus like grabbed me from moment one, like with much less like, ooh, woo-woo. Look at this secret.
Yeah.
Like
much less apparent misdirection.
Like one of the things, like in the very first episode, they get there and they're like, here are these smoothies that are specially crafted for you. Make sure you don't share them and drink the entire thing. And you're like, okay, those smoothies are drugged.
Yeah, no shit. Like if anybody ever told me that, I'd be like, no, thank you. I'm not drinking that.
I was all in.
But yeah, I just can't help but keep like in my mind comparing it to the White Lotus, and the White Lotus is coming out ahead every time. And with like the premise and the setup and the cast here, like it shouldn't be doing that for me. And there's just something missing.
I disagree. There were times in the White Lotus where I was bored because I was watching rich people be slightly inconvenienced and their whole world was melting down. Whereas these are people with like actual real traumatic problems. Like every single person is there for some real serious crap that went on in their life. And when I was watching White Lotus, I enjoyed it, but I was not hooked to the level that Matt was hooked. Like, I enjoyed it. I wanted to watch each episode. I was intrigued to see what crazy shit was going to happen next. But again, it was all low level stuff for the most part, in my opinion. Like, it was kind of a slower burn for me. Whereas this one, I'm seeing it as the puzzle pieces where I feel like Matt's just like, stop throwing me clues and like, yeah, give me a reveal.
Yeah. See, that's the problem for me. Like, they're just being way too obvious. Like, oh, everyone has a secret. I wonder when we're going to find out what it is. Like,
Aaron, you're also forgetting that Matt daydreams about being that bougie where he could be inconvenienced by those types of things.
It's not even that. Like, I don't know. It just seems like the writing on this show is not as tight and as witty and smart as I want it to be. Like, I think that's what it comes down to.
I've got like weird. So I did not call, and I don't want to give any spoilers, but like, how some of these people, you're trying to get a little bit of backstory, and the guy who was the most closed book was the husband of Samara. Why can't I say her name?
Samara Weaving.
I always want to call her Samira, and that's Samara Wiley. Samara Weaving. I can't do it. Two very different actresses too. It's terrible. But he kind of had this reveal that it was kind of like but it's also, it was kind of like a how he made his money basically is revealed. And it was sort of like a nothing answer, but also there's a lot to unpack with it the more you think about it. And I'm that person, like, I've got theories about each one of these crazy people that are at this retreat. And I want to see, one, what they're doing to them and why. And then two, like, I'm guessing their backstories. So I have a theory that the mother who's there for, like, weight loss and, like.
That was the mother's fault.
I think she killed her kids. I'm waiting for the reveal to be that she killed her kids. Like, that's my prediction. And nothing has been, all we know is that she has children.
Or had children.
Or had, right. And she, and she has some rage issues. And like my instant, and I mean, like that's showed in the early episodes that she kind of has this weird sort of twitchiness about her. That's my theory. And then, I don't know. I've got a couple other theories. I don't want to spoil anything else, but yeah, I'm intrigued to see where this was going. There was was it episode 3 we watched today, Matt?
Yeah.
Like, there was something I didn't call about Melissa McCarthy's character that was revealed this episode that I was like, oh, that's very interesting. I wouldn't have thought that to be true, or to be any part of her story. And it was a piece that I found very interesting. Obviously, Matt was bored.
And so, is this doing like the week by week thing?
Bored. It just, I don't know.
I think it is doing, yes, week by week.
It's just not coming together for me.
Patience, Matt. Patience.
As he says that, and there is going to be some big bombshell, and he's going to be like, "Okay, guys, I'm in on some podcast."
Similar to how I feel about this season of Ted Lasso, I'm not about to stop watching it. Like, I'm not writing it off. It's just it's not there for me yet.
Okay.
I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to keep watching it and see if it does. But for all of it's a show that is not for me greater than the sum of its parts.
Heard.
That's just because you're not in line with all of the theorizing like Aaron is with like the Nielsen tapes that she watched. Right? She's always trying
to. Because I'm always trying to solve the mystery. I will say, and I know this is an unpopular opinion, I am not a huge Michael Shannon fan. I respect that he's an excellent actor. He is not someone I often enjoy watching, though. Like, I see what people like in him. I just personally don't like it. But I have been impressed with his performance in this show.
Kind of like Kirsten Stewart.
First of all, it's Kirsten, not Kirsten, and that's a totally different thing. That's a totally different thing. She can't act. Michael Shannon can act. I just don't care for him.
What about the Nielsen tapes, Aaron? So we can transition into your other story, your other
mystery. The Nielsen tapes. I will try and keep this brief and likely fail, but I'm going to try. So
I don't think either me or Matt are seeing it. So
this is a movie length show for anyone who's listening that wants to watch it. It's going to be movie length. It's going to take an hour and a half of your life. They did not break it up into 4-hour long episodes like they did some of the other ones they've done most recently.
Interesting. Okay.
Probably the coolest and creepiest thing about this is that much of the narration of the documentary is the serial killer narrating it.
Ooh, creepy.
So Des Nielsen, just to set you guys up with how he was found out, his downstairs neighbors called in to say that their plumbing was backing up, and they called a plumber to the apartment. When the guy went down to check the sewer basin, there were body parts in it. So,
disgusting.
Yeah. So the police come to the house and they the guy shows up and they say, hey, can you let us into your apartment? And he goes, oh, sure. I wonder why you're investigating me. He was like a civil servant. And they come in the house and they can instantly smell the decay. And in his wardrobe, there are two giant trash bags that are just stuffed full with stinky stuff. They don't open them. They show some pictures of the trash bags in there. You can't see anything gross.
So also, how bad does that have to be that you've gone nose blind to decaying
body parts in your apartment?
He's like, oh yeah, there's no problem. Come in. You're not going to find anything. And they're like, ooh, that's gross.
Right? Like, dude, something's dead in here.
Yes.
So the long and the short of it is they get him in the police car because he's obviously killed people. And they're saying, so how many bodies are we talking here? Is this like one or two? And he goes, try 15 or 16. So he'd been doing this for a very long time. So
slow and methodical, apparently.
Yeah. So there's lots of, I mean, his process, how they interviewed, again, most of it is narrated by the killer himself, because while he was in prison for his crimes, he decided to write a memoir.
Oh, so it's kind of like the Bundy tapes then in that regard, where he's kind telling of, his own story a little bit.
But I feel like there's I watched it. I did watch it all in one sitting, but I feel like the Bundy tapes, I felt like were bits and pieces, whereas this was like mostly him. And it's him telling the story of his confession and what led up to it and everything else with like bits and pieces from the investigating officers. They showed transcripts, like typewriter transcripts, some of the stuff that he had sent in. But basically at some point, a reporter got a hold of the fact that this guy wanted to tell his story and nobody was jumping on it. And he was like, oh, here's everything I've recorded from my jail cell and all of my transcripts. And the guy is sitting like, I'm sitting on a gold mine. So that's sort of how this came to be. It was very interesting. If you like creepy, murdery things, very interesting to listen to. Again, I don't want to spoil all of the stuff that went on to get him to that point, but it was real messed up, not for the weak stomached if you're someone who gets freaked out about this kind of thing. But yeah, just the sheer, like, I don't know, I guess the luck, like he got away with it for so long. He was just that calculated. So it was a very interesting watch, but again, be sure if you want to sit down and watch the whole thing in one sitting, you have some time to do so, because it's not something you can take in pieces. Ha, ba-dum-ba. Pieces.
More
sorry.
Dark so humor.
The interesting thing there.
Of the day.
So you bring up a kind of interesting point that isn't related to this very much. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. So when somebody does something like that, where does the revenue go? Like, he makes money off of it. Like, clearly somebody gets paid for the Netflix deal to put this on their platform. Like, where does it go?
Hopefully, well, I'm sure some part would go to the people who discovered the story. So there's going to be some kind of finder's fee. Probably. And then the people who cut it into production. But then hopefully some of the money goes to the survivors of his victims.
Like, I would hope so.
And they do interview some of the survivors of his victims too.
Like this guy putting together his own whole story, essentially narrating it, like being involved, essentially, because his voice is being used, and like his accounts are all frozen. Like he's not able to do anything with it. Like I don't think you can earn money from prison. This isn't Monopoly.
Well, yeah, you can. They do tell you at the end that he is no longer alive. So I feel like there's definitely a timeliness of this. I do believe he died in prison. I didn't look it up, but they do mention at the end that they have one of the survivors' family members be like, oh yeah, my son told me and I couldn't believe it. But it just felt so strange to think that it was over, but still so present for me. Yeah. So yeah, it was really good is my takeaway. And the good news is also that it's not like The Staircase where you need to have like 8 days to watch it. You can just sit down for a movie lane thing and watch a murder doc.
Very cool. And so, Matt, you watched the other creepy thing this week so far. At least you got started. This is a Ron recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
So Ron's going to have like 3 shout outs on this one episode. Man, he's a popular guy this week. So brand new Cherry Flavor came out on Netflix.
Terrible name for the show, but yes.
Very weird name for the show. Came out last week, I believe. And Netflix is great, so you can binge all the way through it. It is
I think it just premiered on like Friday.
Yeah, it was fairly recent. Horror-ish genre, though. Walk us through the basic premise of the show and what your impressions are.
I literally only watched the first episode.
That's right.
Because I watched it tonight while Erin was on the phone with her parents. And it's about this girl, played by Rosa Salazar, who has been in a bunch of stuff. You would definitely recognize her. Very much a like hot young up and coming actress. I say young, she's like 30.
She was in Anita, Alita.
Yeah, she was the lead in Alita Battle Angel, which a bunch of people lost their minds over. I thought it was fine.
Anyway.
But anyway, so this show is about this girl, Lisa, played by Rosa Salazar, who is a filmmaker who comes to LA because this producer has contacted her because he saw this short film that she made. He's interested. She shows up in LA, meets with him. He wants to turn it into a feature length movie. They talk for a while. She eventually agrees on the condition that she gets to direct it. And he's like, yeah, sure. That's great. Sure. Sends her a contract. She's like, make sure you have a lawyer look this over. She doesn't have a lawyer look it over. She signs the contract. Long story short, he screws her over.
Of course.
She gets super mad. And then weird shit starts happening.
Okay. You could get a lot of that from the trailer as well, because the trailer was weird as hell.
Yeah, no, this is going to be, I've only watched the first episode, but I can already tell this is going to be a real weird show. I'm very interested. She meets this like weird old lady who is played by, I can't think of her name right now, but she's very well known. Catherine Keener. She was the mom in Get Out. That's her most recent high profile thing. She meets her and this lady is like, I could hurt someone for you, and then like disappears, and then she like seeks her out and finds her and is like, I want to get revenge on this dude. And she's like, all right, let's do this. And that's the end of the first episode. So again, I'm very intrigued. It's going to be a real weird, real creepy show. I can tell you that from the get-go. But I really don't know where things are going. I'm going to keep watching it. Aaron Manny Jacinto is also in this show.
That would be the only reason for me to watch this. Only because I watched like several trailers about it, because I had heard it was kind of cool, and I was completely disinterested at everything I looked at.
I would watch the first episode. I think even if from the description you don't really have any interest in the show, you should check out the first episode, because I think it's either going to grab you or it's not going to grab you. Yeah, I don't really know what else to say about it at this point, because again, I've only watched that one. But I will for sure have more to say about it next week, because I will probably have finished the show by then.
Yeah, Ron loved it. And as much as we give Ron for his opinions on most things, I have found that his horror movie recommendations and horror shows tend to be on point. He tends to have a pretty good taste for that.
He and I usually line up on horror. I'll give him that. Nothing else but horror. Except movies.
The biggest thing he talked about in the Slack channel is how hot he thinks Rosa is and how he wants to watch her act more. So like, it's hard for me. I have to take with a grain of salt that like, I might not like this because I, you know, like I don't want to hit it. Could be a pretty deciding factor on liking or disliking a show, which is kind of a good segue.
You both gave me two good segues, because one's about Ryan Reynolds and everybody wants to hit that. And
oh, I would absolutely hit that.
And the other one is about Reminiscence, which is the other area where Matt and Ron tend to not agree, because it's not a horror movie. So let's talk Reminiscence. I'll give the quote from Ron, give his third shout out for the podcast here. Reminiscence was lame, good premise, strong start, terrible waning out up to the finish.
I actually mostly agree with him on this one.
Oh
too.
Oh my gosh. What?
Hell just froze over.
So
it got cold in here.
For those of you who don't know, Reminiscence is a movie starring Hugh Jackman, Tandy Newton, and what's her face? I can never remember her name. Rebecca Ferguson, I think is who it is.
Okay.
She's the Ginge.
Yeah. Yeah, Rebecca Ferguson nailed it. But so
after
it's
calling her what's her face.
So it's set in like a post-apocalyptic version of Miami. They're very vague about what happened, but essentially there were a bunch of wars. The ocean levels rose, so the entire city is like a little bit flooded. People travel around by boats and they don't go out during the daytime because it's too hot. But Hugh Jackman runs this business where he has this machine that can basically go into your memories and you can relive your memories.
Your memories relive exactly how you lived them, or can you change your memories?
That's okay. You're getting to one of the shortcomings of the movie, in my opinion here.
Okay.
Where they don't really get into like the fact that memory is very changeable. Like memory is not a thing that's set in stone. Memory is something that
can be rewritten.
Yeah, can be altered, and that is altered all the time.
People misremember things constantly.
But yeah, the movie never really gets into that.
Well, and think about how in a breakup, you only think about the good things, not the bad things they did. If you miss them, or vice versa, you only see the bad if it was a bad breakup.
Huh. And he has regular customers who like come back and want to like relive the same memory over and over again. And they do kind of address that, in that like those customers, he like keeps it, like keeps that memory like stored on like a disc essentially. And like
a memory drive.
Yeah. Which good is one, Jake. Part Howdy of the you. Major yeah. plot of the movie that he does that, but I don't want to spoil too much if you are interested in watching this. But so the basic plot of the movie is one day this woman walks in, Rebecca Ferguson's character, and she has lost her keys and wants him to help her remember where they are. And he's like, well, it's your money. So he does that. She leaves an expensive pair of earrings behind, and he goes to find her to give them back. They start seeing more of each other. They fall in love. One day she disappears. He has no idea what happened to her. He becomes obsessed with finding out what's going on, because there's no way in his mind that she like left him. Like something had to have happened to her. And again, I don't want to spoil too much, but he uncovers this whole like big plot, a bunch of secrets from her past that he had no idea about. And it just...
And it all revolves around the keys.
No. I feel like the movie wanted to be so much more clever than it is. The whole time it just reminds you of other movies, which is never a good thing in my opinion. It has a lot of Inception vibes, very reminiscent of like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. The ending I felt was very, for lack of a better word, lame.
Meh. Just a little meh.
Yeah, like it.
Well, it sounds like to that point where you got to where you said like everything was building up. So like you have to have some decent payoff, and if you don't get there, then yeah, the ending's always gonna be like, really, that's it, kind of thing.
And they tried to do like the clever ambiguous ending that I don't think really worked for them.
The Inception ending.
Top fall over.
Yeah, like I don't know. It started off really strong, and I just feel like they didn't fully explore the premise enough to justify it. Like it felt like, and I think this is probably apt to what might have actually happened, it felt like somebody offered this script to Christopher Nolan and he was like, no, I'm good. and I say that that's apt because the script was written by his brother Jonathan Nolan. it felt too much like other movies and not enough like it wasn't confident enough in its own ideas and didn't explore its own ideas enough to really be great. I mean, it's still got Hugh Jackman in it. So
I was gonna say, I'll probably watch it because I not only do I really love, I'll say really like Hugh Jackman. I really love post-apocalyptic movies. I like seeing how different people envision like what might happen next and the creativity that comes with that. Like, it's always been something I've been interested in. It's in a lot of the like young adult fiction I read. It's in a lot of things that I like to read that aren't murder mysteries, which is the only other thing I read. So I'm probably going to watch it just because I like to see like the artistic concept of that.
And I also feel like they just didn't, like, if you're going to set your movie in a post-apocalyptic world, like, I feel like that needs to matter more than it does here.
Got like, it.
Yeah, otherwise, like, what's the point?
Why did we get here? Why? And like, they like brush towards it a little bit. Like, Hugh Jackman's past is brought up where he was like involved in some big war that happened, and this technology that he uses to make a living now was used to like interrogate people during that war.
Sounds about right.
But they're always like very vague about what actually happened to make the world like this. Like, it's clearly something to do with global warming, because again, the ocean levels have risen and everything is flooded. And it's too hot for people to go out in the daytime.
That's just Florida during the summer.
I mean, honestly, it's 100
degrees.
And
it is in Miami, so. But yeah, they just, it's like somebody had this great idea and like they just didn't bother to flesh it out enough.
Unlike Free Guy, because that one's getting great reviews. And it has Ryan Reynolds, and he's a dreamboat.
I loved Free Guy.
I read a meme the other day that said, maybe it was a TikTok that said, there are men out there who admit that they love Ryan Reynolds, and then there are men who are lying. So anyway, what do we think of Free Guy?
I loved it.
We both loved it.
Yeah, I've had a really difficult couple of weeks. And when like the thought of going to a movie yesterday sounded kind of like a bummer. And then we sat down, but I was like, but it's Ryan Reynolds and it's going to be funny. Like, how bad could it be? I was super intrigued by the idea. And I love Jodie Comer. I love... Jodie's her first name, right? Get that wrong. Okay. Mm-hmm. I love Jodie Comer. I was obsessed with her in Killing Eve. I think she's phenomenal. So as soon as I found out she, like, we're sitting there, I'm like, oh, I love her too. But it was the perfect blend of like action, comedy, like rom-com. Like, it was everything I needed. Video, like nerdy video game stuff, like all the Easter eggs in it were so great. You know, Matt was looking up some of the cameos that were in it, like the incognito cameos that were in.
Which I don't want to spoil too much. So
yeah, no spoilers. I'm just going to say there's a lot of people in this movie who you don't know are in this movie. Yeah.
Some of them you'll catch. Some of them are like meant to be like, oh my gosh. And some of them are like, you're not going to know that it's them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was like kind of cool.
Vin Diesel as Groot. Like,
yeah,
like, you just. Unless you look it up, or unless you're paying attention to the credits, you don't realize that.
Yeah. Or you're watching any of the interview, like the press stuff they do. Yeah. But yeah, it was super fun to see like who they got and how they got them. And as we were sort of looking into it, I'm like, I guarantee you that half of that was Ryan Reynolds sitting around in his downtime being like, hey bro, you got 5 minutes? Like, I guarantee you, he was just seeing who was around and wanted to mess around with them, because they clearly had so much fun making this movie.
One of the biggest cameos, I looked it up afterwards, and that's literally what happened, is this person was filming a movie in the same city, and Ryan Reynolds was like, hey, can you come over to our set for like 10 minutes?
That's awesome.
Yeah, so my suspicions were confirmed, because I said it to Matt before we left the theater.
Ryan Reynolds, I feel like as he gets more and more say in producing, and I don't know if he's done any really directorial stuff yet, but I know he's done some, not anything major.
I feel like it's on the way.
He strikes me as the kind of person who approaches the movie the same way Adam Sandler does, and that's that he wants to get his friends together, he wants to make a movie, and he wants it to be funny as hell.
Mm-hmm. Except Ryan Reynolds just makes actual good movies.
I was going
to
say.
And he wants to have a good time.
I about to say, his movies are not necessarily better. They're just for a different audience than Adam Sandler's movie.
I will say they're better.
You can say they're better. You're the different audience. So Free Guy was really good. And actually, while we've been recording here, Spider-Man No Way Home trailer just came out.
It dropped.
We're going to pause. We're going to come back with our reactions in like 3 minutes. It'll be like no timing for all of you that are listening.
Bro. All right.
Was that no or oh?
I said bro. Oh,
bro, okay. That was okay. I want to say that was way different than what I was anticipating from like a plot line. Which could also be total misdirection because it wouldn't be the first time Feige's done that either. But
right,
that was different and equally parts impressed on what is going on.
I have one thought after that trailer. Give me Tobey Maguire, damn it!
You want jazz Tobey Maguire at this point?
Emo Tobey Maguire.
Listen, only if stop he does teasing me. Just let me get there. So Sony, come on.
if he doesn't do the dance, I don't want to see it. I don't want him in the movie.
Yeah,
so
I only want emo Tobey Maguire, Peter Parker. I don't want the regular one, just the emo version.
I'm a little behind because I haven't seen the last Spider-Man movie.
Oh, true.
What?
Where have you been? I know. It's been on the list. And then we started the Marvel rewatch instead. So I figured we'd get there before any of this happened. And then we just haven't gotten there yet. I'm really looking forward to it.
Our next one is Infinity War. So we're almost there for it. But
yeah. So we just didn't quite keep up. But so I just learned that his identity was revealed. So like I said, I'm a little bit behind. But I did know that there was some crazy crap happening in this one. And personally, very excited to see more Doctor Strange, having just also recently rewatched Doctor Strange. I think he's...
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch is awesome, and that character is fantastic.
Yeah, both of those things. I
want to know why the Sanctum is all snowy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed his sweatshirt underneath his cape. It's cold.
There's a lot of questions from this for sure. Like a lot why did Wong tell him not to do that spell? Like,
well, I mean, I think that one is clearly answered.
Because Wong's paid more attention. It was more about multiverses.
He's tearing apart the fabric of space and time, you know.
Which also then
because it's inconvenient for him.
And what also went wrong too? Is it really just the fact that Peter was talking to him while he was trying to concentrate? Like, if so, how did he ever get anything done with Tony near him?
Right. Or did he just sort of do it wrong? Or was it not the right spell?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, how trying to erase the memories of the entire world is probably a pretty complicated spell. So
I could imagine so. Mm-hmm. And also, Matt, you want Tobey Maguire. I want Elizabeth Olsen.
Mm. I mean, need her cameo in here. We don't even know that she's going to be in this one. We only know she's going to be in Doctor Strange.
I want her to be in this one. Maybe she's the reason the Sanctum's snowy.
Maybe we'll get an end credits teaser with Elizabeth Olsen.
I was going to say, I bet she's going to be the end credits.
That's probably true. All right. Well, that was good. Now it won't come out for another 3 months. So.
Yeah, November, right? I think.
Yes. Yep. Eternals is September. This is No,
Shang-Chi
December.
Is September.
Shang-Chi is... No, yeah. So Eternals is November. This is December.
God, we have so many Marvel movies coming out this year.
Thank you, God. I've been missing out. Yeah, Shang-Chi over here.
Let's see. I want to confirm.
Shang-Chi comes soon. It's like September 3rd or something.
Shang-Chi
like
is September 3rd, so yep. Labor Day weekend.
2 weeks.
Yeah, that would be Labor Day weekend. Eternals is November 5th. And yep. Spider-Man is
December 17th.
December 17th.
Can I submit
more
an unpopular
Marvel movies
opinion?
Before the end of the year?
Go ahead, Aaron.
It's
unpopular opinions
stuff.
On this podcast.
I know. I would never. Everyone agrees with me always. I'm a little bit meh about Eternals. I think it looks cool, but I don't know. Jake, put your jaw back up. I don't know enough about the lore and where they fit in the story to be as excited about it as you guys are. I think the concept sounds cool, but this is just kind of one of those Marvel movies for Marvel storyline's sake that I don't understand yet.
What you just said is the exact reason I am excited.
I was going to say
Eternals
exactly
is one of the ones I don't know that well.
You don't know? I'm just kind of like, oh, this is, it just feels like a movie.
Yeah. And it reminds me a lot of what they did with like Iron Man and Thor.
No, I'll tell you exactly what this is giving me. It's giving me Guardians of the Galaxy vibes, where everyone was like, who the fuck are the Guardians of the Galaxy? And then it came out and everyone was like, okay, we love them.
I was sold on Guardians of the Galaxy because it looked funny. They showed like jokes and stuff. So that's what sold me on wanting to see that movie. Well, and at the time I was very into Chris Pratt. I've since learned the error of my ways, but the inferior
Chris. Hollywood
but,
Chris.
Yeah, honestly.
Chris Pratt, you guys are haters.
He's the worst Hollywood Chris.
I mean,
so like that's what sold me. And that it was the funniness of it and the you know, the soundtrack. Like, that's what got me to go see Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't even think I necessarily knew walking into that movie that it was a part of the Marvel sequence. But also, I've learned more about the Marvel storyline and timeline on this podcast than I ever knew coming into it.
If there was ever a reason that I wasn't excited for Eternals, it's that they took half of the Game of Thrones cast and put it into this movie, apparently. Mm. So that would be the part of it that I'm excited for.
You know.
All right. Well, if you stuck with us, we appreciate you tuning in for another long episode. As I promised at the beginning, it was packed. We talked through a lot of new stuff. If you think we missed anything, hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We would love to know what we missed, if it's worth watching. And if...
Wait, are we not going to talk about the other news that you missed from last week?
Oh.
Oh, no, we don't have time for that. We'll get to that next week. We're already like an hour long podcast episode here.
All right, cool.
And Cole has opinions, I'm sure. And so we'll let Cole talk on that one next week.
Well, there's your teaser for next week's podcast then.
Mysteries around.
Find out what I'm talking about.
There you go. And so if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We really appreciate that support. And until next time, enjoy your streaming.